Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord.
Good morning. I hope that during that pause you had an opportunity to reflect and be thankful for this morning, or this afternoon, or this night, whenever you may be listening to this podcast. It's during those pauses that we take time to really reflect on who we are and whose we are. And so we are so thankful that you have joined us today for this week's podcast from Berea Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina. This has been a very challenging week for many people from many walks of life. And we're reminded that it is particularly at times like this that it's important that we draw closer to God as a people of God, that we come together to practice and to encourage each other, to honor and demonstrate respect for life and livelihood, to understand and respect the different challenges we face, and to practice unconditional love by living lives characterized by grace, peace, and mercy. So as we begin today's celebration, we lift our hands up high to God in praise, and we thank God for the opportunity to be alive on this day at this time. For it is indeed a blessing, even in the midst of turmoils that we may face. Today's message is remembering to give thanks and pray. It's our second message in our new six-part series on the reason for our hope, which is grounded in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Today we will discover the important roles that faith, love, and hope play in living a thankful life. Today at Berea, we want to also recognize some important birthdays and anniversaries. On our birthday list for Monday of this coming week is Richard Vickers, so we lift him up and wish him a very happy birthday. Our anniversary list, we have three: Pat and Bryant Farrell on Sunday, June the 7th, Dennis and Donna Massey on Wednesday, June the 10th, and then Patrick and Alicia Massey the very next day, Thursday, June 11th. So we wish all three of these couples a very happy anniversary. Anniversaries are so important. Birthdays are so important. And if you've had a birthday or an anniversary this week, we wish you a happy birthday and a happy anniversary. It's important. They're important markers in our lives. And if you know of someone who has experienced one of these events, please wish them happiness and ask for God's blessings upon their life. We also want to be very prayerful about some very specific things. Dear Lord, today we lift up our local communities. We lift up our country. We are facing many issues that too often separate us as human beings rather than bringing us together. Help us to be reminded and to be thankful for the sanctity of life. May we value and respect each other as human beings. May we be willing to work together to acknowledge, to address, and then to attempt to solve the problems that we face as a society. May we remember and be led by godly principles, and that's key. May we remember and be led by godly principles of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, you are right. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And that is who we are as Christians. We also lift up prayer requests that are in the hearts of all persons who are listening to this podcast today. Here at Berea, we continue to pray for Lori and Mike Gentry. Lori is continuing to make progress, but she continues to face some challenges that need to be addressed and that we struggle with from day to day. Be with Lori and Mike and let them ask that God's presence may be felt in their lives, that they will know that they're being uplifted by our prayers and by God's presence. Because it's so important to be able to face each day, one day at a time, and to continue to move forward. Also remember Sue Alloway, who is in the hospital and is undergoing several surgeries in recent days for some infection. Please pray that she may be comforted and that her family and loved ones may be strengthened as they support her. I'm also happy to report that Carol Wortha, my wife, her surgery went well yesterday. It took a little bit longer. She's coming home today. But we are thankful for what the surgeons and the caregivers were able to do. And we appreciate all the prayers and the concerns that have been expressed. And so we are thankful for that. Please also remember Ann Williams, Linda Fogelman, Peggy Behringer, Juanita and Aubrey Vickers, and William Small in your prayers. Also remember that Aubrey's having a little more difficulty with the toxins in his body, so we pray that he can have success in controlling those toxins. And so continue to keep him and Juanita in your prayers. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, it is at times like this that we know that it is important that we draw closer to you, that we seek your guidance and lean not into our own understanding. For too often, we miss the point. We don't get it. We fail to really hear, to really listen. So, dear Lord, we ask today, help us to see each other and this world as you see it. Help us to see it through your eyes. help us to understand what compassion is, what forgiveness is, what meaningful change is, what really improving life is about, that we may understand that fullness in life that your word promises us. Dear God, we pray for healing of mind, body, and spirit. May that healing be comprehensive. May it be transformative. May we be the people that you created us to be. For each person that has been mentioned today, we lift them up. Our churches, our communities, our nation, dear Lord, we place it on your altar. Heal us. Strengthen us. Help us to be the people you have created us to be. And dear Lord, in all these things, we give thanks to you. We give thanks for your unconditional love, for your grace, and for your mercy, and for your favor. And dear Lord, we also pray, for we know that it is important that we keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds centered on you. So heal us, dear Lord, as a people, as a nation, and transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, we have us an opportunity for some children's time. And I've got me a little something different today. And I want you to take a look at this. This thing's nice here. This thing's really old. This bag is at least, 70 years old. So this is almost like ancient right now. This could almost be in the museum right now. But I want you to look at this, and does anybody have an idea what you think this might be? Have you ever seen anything like this? Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of hint. I could put some food in here. And you know, we could walk around somewhere and we could decide, oh, that looks like a nice place we could sit down. And then we maybe, let's say we'll sit down right here, and we could sit down and we could decide to maybe have something to eat. So do you know what this is now? Yeah, it's a basket. But a lot of us know it as a picnic basket. And so let's see some of the things that I've got in here that we might could use. Oh, well, here is a plate. That's right. And we could put some food on there. What would you like to put on there? Oh, let's see. Maybe a clementine, because I know y'all like those. Maybe some applesauce. And that could be good. Some grapes. Yeah. Cantaloupe, strawberries. Maybe a sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly, maybe some snacks. Yeah, we could have a little cup, and we could put maybe juice in it or milk or something like that. And if you're like me, I tend to kind of make a mess when I eat. I'm not the cleanest eater. And so I thought it might be good to have a napkin too, just in case, you know, we spill something or make a mess or something. But we could clean that up. But, you know, we could have fun all sitting out here. You know, maybe before long we could have our own little picnic here at church. And we could all just kind of sit out and have a great time and enjoy eating together. But, you know, you may have been having some picnics where you are. Maybe you've gone outside and decided you wanted to eat outside. Or you may have been in the car and you drove through maybe or by a fast food window and you picked up some food and you decided to have a picnic in the car. And, you know, that's a great thing. But, you know, when we get ready to eat, there's something important we want to do. We always want to be thankful for the food that we have. And so you've heard about saying the blessing. And so you may have said something like, God is great. God is good. And God is great. And God is good. And then you might say, and we thank Him for this food. Because we are thankful for the food and all the things that we have. And so we give thanks. And then if it's you're at my house or if you're at eating with me sometimes and we have this grace and we say this blessing a lot. And at the very end, we give a good old hearty amen. Because we're happy and we're thankful about that. And so I want to teach you a word today that's very important about the blessing that we have and giving thanks for our food. And this is a four-letter word that I think we can remember. And it starts with the letter. Does anybody recognize that first one? It's a P. And it's followed by an R. And then this third letter, that's the very first letter of the alphabet. So that's the letter what? A. That's right. And then this last one is closer to the end of the alphabet, and it's a Y. And it's the word pray. And you know, it's important that we pray for our food. And at night, you may have your prayers right before going to bed. And that's a time to talk with God. And I want to share something with you about how important it is to pray. We've been studying one of the books in the Bible. Remember, we talked about this being God's Word. And we've been talking about 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 1, the very second verse, it talks about something that we just finished talking about. I want you to listen carefully and see if you can pick it out, what we've been talking about. So here's the verse. We always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. I hope you picked up two words there that you kind of heard us talking about. Thank, thankful, giving thanks, blessing, and then also prayer. We're thankful that each one of you are part of our worship celebration. We're thankful for each one of you that is listening today. We're thankful that you had the opportunity to hear about God. And we're also thankful that you know that it's important that we give thanks for our food and that we pray. And we can say God is great, God is good. And we can thank Him for not only our food, but our parents, our grandparents, our caregivers, everything that we have. May we remember to pray, and may we remember to give thanks. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
In a recent book, America at the Crossroads, published in 2016, well-known pollster, Christian pollster, George Barna, provided some very sobering data on religious beliefs and practices and behavior in the United States based on two data points giving us a 10-year timeline, 2005 to 2015. I bring this data up not to put you to sleep and not to cause you to shift and kind of go on, you know, kind of disengage, but to maybe wake us up and to remind us of who we are as a church, as Christians, as a nation, and maybe remind us about God. Have we forgotten God? Do we fail to talk to God? Are we praying to God? Are we studying His Word? Are we drawing closer? Is God important in our life? Has Jesus Christ transformed who we are? Do we see the world clearly through God's eyes? You see, we are at a crossroads. We're at an important crossroads, and I'm arguing that we are at the brink of a great awakening because the challenges that we face today remind us that it's very, very important that we seek God's guidance in all that we do. But I'm wondering, have we forgotten to seek that guidance? Have we taken it for granted? Because the data I'm going to share with you today reminds us that we have some things to do. And I know that there is enough believers out there from all walks of life who want to work together to further God's kingdom. So here are some sobering points of information. I hope they disturb you. I pray that they disturb you. I pray that they disturb you to the point that we will all rethink who we are and whose we are. Here's the first one. 78% of Americans indicate that they believe that Jesus Christ is a real historical person. But you know, if we leave it there, we miss the point. See, less than 40% of people see Jesus as both human and divine. And they question whether he really lived a sinless life. That's hard to hear, isn't it? Here's another one. In 2005, two-thirds of adult believers in our churches were involved in sharing the gospel, the good news, with others. Just 5 years ago, as of 2015, only one-third of believers share anymore. Is it uncool to share the good news? Are we embarrassed to share the good news? Are we afraid that we might be rejected if we share the good news? The number of persons seeing themselves as deeply spiritual, and I'm being very broad here, deeply spiritual, has also declined from 2005 to 2015. From 58% of adults to 37% of adults surveyed. That's moving in the wrong direction. Only 5 years ago, only 27%, just a little bit over a quarter, of adults consider their faith to be their highest priority in life. And among millennials, and so we've got, as you know, the baby boomers, we've got Generation X, we've got Generation Y, we've got the millennials, we've got Generation Z, which is the youngest group. But among millennials, this percentage is the lowest at 22%. Now, if you're not sure who the millennials are, persons born between 1980 and 2000, in many respects, children of the baby boomers. Only 22% seeing faith as important. Are we becoming increasingly more irrelevant? Now, here's a statistic that may really shock you. When we look out in our churches and our congregations, and we look at the composition of our congregation, we know that women vastly outnumber men. That's no real surprise. This statistic, though, may surprise you. Do you know that when it comes to sharing the gospel with another person, when it comes to sharing the good news with another person, men are more likely to do this than women? Why is this? Why aren't we all sharing the gospel? Why aren't we all doing it? Irregardless of our demographic background, why are we not sharing the good news? Financial support has also declined. Do you realize that only about 45% of adults that 45% of adults provide no type of financial support to any type of religious organization? And that among persons affiliated with religious groups, only 2% tithe. What is that saying about our ministries and our support for what we're about? Many of us have multiple Bibles in our homes. But I'm wondering if they're coffee table items that have to be dusted off from time to time because they're not read. We have Bibles. It's one thing to have the Word of God. It's something else to open it up and read it. Very disturbing fact. Do you realize that among adults, only 11% of adults read the Bible multiple times a week? And that only 2% read it daily? We talk about those daily devotionals. They're out there. You can find them all over the internet. But are we really engaging God's Word? Maybe these are some of the reasons why we are drifting and we maybe don't have a sense of direction. Is the church relevant in today's world? Barna relates that among persons not involved with church, 48% believe the church provides no value. Now that's disheartening, but you've also got to look at it the other way too. 52% do see it as having value. And we have some work to do. And people can change their minds. But right now we do face the challenge of being relevant. We have this message which transcends time. We have this message which has been the same for 2,000 years. Not because it's irrelevant, but because it's very relevant. But we have to share it with each generation. We have to continually spread the good news. One other report. Over a 20-year period from 1995 to 2015, there have been continuous declines in church attendance, continuous declines in Sunday school attendance. And don't worry, small groups are also declining as well. Volunteerism declining. People are so busy with so many things, but are we busy in sharing the good news? And by the way, people are praying less and less to God. So our work is cut out for us. We can make a difference. And I pray that we will be willing to be relevant in today's world. Because that message of unconditional love, grace, peace, hope, salvation, forgiveness is all grounded in the Word of God. That is where our hope is. This is the reason for our hope as a people and as a nation.
You and you are a giver of either the
As we move to God's Word, I want to share with you today two texts that I'll ask you to read several times through this coming week. One from the Old Testament, from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. It's a passage on thankfulness and giving thanks to the Lord. The second scripture passage is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And in that first chapter, in verses 2 through 10, where Paul talks about how he and Silas and Timothy are thankful for the Thessalonian Christians, for them lifting them up, and for allowing to share their faith with others, and to be a people of hope and love and faith and an example of persons on fire for God. He gives thanks for them, and he's thankful for prayers. See, these remind us as a nation that we are grounded in thanksgiving and in prayer. So, in Chronicles, David is sharing this decree, so to speak, for being thankful. And it goes like this, verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Proclaim His deed among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell everyone about all His wondrous works. Honor His holy name. Let our hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. So as we listen to those words, there are several questions that immediately come to mind. Do we give thanks to God for all, He has done for us? Do we call on His name, or are we content to rely on our own understanding? Do we testify and share what God has done in our lives? In other words, do we give thanks? How often do we sing praise to God? Or are we tempted to curse God when we don't get our way? Do we share what all God has done with us, for us, for our friends and our families and those that we care about? Do we honor God's name, or do we more than likely take it in vain? How do we really see God? Do we seek the Lord and ask for His strength? Do we ask Him to be the guiding principle in our lives? You know, that survey data suggests something else, doesn't it? Do we encourage those we care about to seek the Lord and to rely on His strength to face daily challenges? And you know, Paul kind of picks up right where David has left off. And as we move to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 10, hear these words from Paul. We always thank God for all of you. He's talking about the Thessalonian Christians. Making mention of you constantly in our prayers. That's that verse we shared with the children today. We recall in the presence of our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you get nothing else out of today, are we motivated by our faith? Are our labors grounded in unconditional love? And is our hope placed in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, our authoritative Master, our Savior, our Messiah? That's what Lord Jesus Christ means. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, we know we are loved by God, and that He has chosen us, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit. In other words, these are not just words on a page. These are words which transform who we are. And we have a comforter and a counselor in the Holy Spirit. We have a mentor. We're not alone. This gospel, this word has been given to us with full assurance. We know that we lived among you for your benefit. Now this is Paul talking again to the group. And you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord, when in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. Remember that song that you just heard, giving thanks for all things? These Thessalonian Christians were doing that. They were living Christ-like lives in all things. And you know, people were taking notice, because notice what happens. As a result, you became an example for all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. You know, Christianity can go viral. There are a lot of things that go viral. Maybe that unconditional love and mercy and grace and favor, it's time for that to go viral as well. Therefore, we don't need to say anything, for they always report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. How often do we thank God for fellow Christians that are a part of our lives, who care about us, and who enrich our lives? Do we take the fellowship of believers for granted? As a body of believers, are our ministries to each other and to those outside the four walls of our churches motivated by our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we love each other and others enough to go the extra mile with whatever that person may be facing? Does our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ provide us with confidence to face life's struggles and to proclaim the gospel until Christ returns? This is why Paul shared this passage in this letter, to help us to remember the importance of giving thanks for those who are out there spreading the good news. As a body of believers who have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, are we empowered? Have we received the Holy Spirit? Do we welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives? Have our lives been transformed? Are we imitating Christ? Do our words and our actions match? Now, that's probably where we're most vulnerable, if we're honest with each other. Do our words and our actions match? Is our witness convincing because of that? The Thessalonian Christians were sharing the gospel beyond their immediate surroundings, and people were noticing. That's what happens when the Word of God and the people of God move out and into daily life. If we take the statistical trends seriously that we shared earlier, we know that our homes, our neighborhoods, our communities, our state, and our nation needs to hear the gospel message. And they need to see it demonstrated as well. Do we demonstrate the gospel message? Are we willing to evangelize, to strengthen our fellowship, to mentor disciples until Jesus comes? We are God's children. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can pray to God daily and we can study God's Word daily. But do we choose to do this? We have something powerful to share, and the world needs to hear it now. Now. Now is the time, because revival, the seeds of revival have been planted, and revival is coming. Will we be part of this movement? The sharing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that Jesus, that we will be able to see the world through your eyes, and help us to remain diligent until you return. About 10 years ago, Jason Freenan wrote a book called Seven Prayers God Always Answers. And it's a very interesting subtitle to this book. The subtitle is this: God's promises are for everyone, everywhere, every time. No exclusions here. None. No one is excluded here. But you know, sometimes we don't know how to pray or for what to pray. Friend offers seven areas, and I'm going to mention those, but I want to provide some commentary and some applied context to where we are right now as a people and as a group of believers and as a nation. So, first, are we praying to God for direction? This is a prayer that reflects our willingness to trust God and not lean into our own understanding. Again, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. These are decision-making prayers where we seek guidance from God rather than seeing ourselves as the final authority. Second, forgiveness. Prayers of forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness. We must be willing to forgive others, and others must be willing to forgive us. It's a two-way street. We must be willing to learn from our mistakes and move forward. You see, we pray for forgiveness because Christ has forgiven us. Can we accept Christ's forgiveness? Are we willing to accept the forgiveness that others may offer us? Prayers for freedom. These are often prayers for deliverance from evil and temptation, the power of sin. These are prayers where we are reminded that Satan has been defeated. Satan's power is not ultimate. Although we can allow evil to wreck our lives, we have choices. See, prayers for freedom are also prayers for God to lead us through those valleys of the shadows of various types of death and tragedy. Prayers for provision. Think of the Lord's Prayer. These are the prayers for our daily needs. These prayers help us to distinguish our needs from our wants. Here, may we learn through these prayers of provision to be thankful for God's provisions and care. Healing. Very misunderstood prayers. Here we may ask for God's healing of our minds, our bodies, and our souls. How many of us need attitude adjustment prayers? Let's just be honest. We need prayers for spiritual healing just as much as for physical healing. Where are our prayers for a clean heart? And where are the prayers that will deliver us from hate? Prayers for blessings. Oftentimes, these prayers in these types of prayers. We need to be reminded of the blessings that they have. These are remembrance prayers. Often we take for granted the fact that we are God's children, that we have God's favor. Think back for a moment to the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus talking about the Beatitudes, sometimes referred to as the Be Happy Attitudes. But they're blessings. But what do they deal with? We are to be blessed in our poverty. What? We're to be blessed when we mourn. And we are blessed when we mourn. What? We are blessed in our humility. We are blessed in hunger. Lord, are you sure? We're blessed as we show mercy. We're blessed through a pure heart. We're blessed by being peacemakers. And we are blessed when we suffer persecution because of whose we are. Blessings. And then number 7. Salvation. Now you and I can't save anyone. We can introduce them to the gospel. We can introduce them to Jesus. And that is what we are to do. So until Christ returns, do we pray for those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Do we pray that people's hearts may be softened and be receptive to the gospel? Do we pray that God will give us the courage to share the good news with those we know and to those to whom God brings in our paths? As was the case with the Thessalonian Christians, may our faith, hope, and love motivate us to share the good news. You see, we are a blessed people. We're committed to sharing the good news until Jesus returns. God wants to bless us and all those who will receive Him. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of what is truly important. So today, wherever you are listening to this podcast, please know this. If Jesus is speaking to you, you can accept Him as your Lord and Savior right now, right where you are. If you want to recommit your life to Jesus and reaffirm your commitment to share the gospel, again, you can do that right now, right where you are. Will you and I accept Him and reaffirm Him as the Lord of our lives today? Allow our closing music today to minister to your needs and to bless you. If this podcast has spoken to you, if it's resonated with you, if you see that it is relevant to you and you want to share it with someone else, please do so. Spread the good news. And so as we conclude today, may we be strengthened by our faith, our love, and our hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
How can I save man? Just let me live.